Genesis chapter 37. Would you run up and see if this is on the monitor? I think he's left the building here. We had talked last week about Joseph, and we're going to look at maybe a little bit different view of things this week. We had talked about the love of Joseph's love, how he loved the Father, he loved the Lord, and he loved the brothers. And by the grace of God, we'll look at the brothers tonight, and or today, this morning, until tonight. No. But in Genesis 37, we'll begin in verse number 1. But let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Word of God, your Word, Lord, the Bible. And Lord, we're here today making a feeble attempt to try to bring you honor and glory, Lord. You are worthy of so much more. And Lord, we ask that you would meet with us for your name's sake, Lord, that you would meet with us and change us for your honor and your glory, that we'd better be able to glorify you and just help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis 37, beginning in verse number 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness," "and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by a Midianite merchantman, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, we had talked last week and other times before about Joseph being the greatest type of Christ in the Bible. And as we go down through, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 things today, we'll see some more of that typology. And the first thing I want to see back in verses 5 through 7 of chapter 37 in Genesis says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. The first thing we see is the prophecy. He prophesied that his brothers would later bow down to him. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus Christ. He walked this earth and he told them who he was, and they didn't like who he was. They didn't like the authority. They didn't like the fact that they would one day bow down to him. They thought they were good enough on their own, and that's where men are today. They think they're good enough on their own, and most folks don't want to bow down to Jesus Christ. And that's why I said before, I'll say it again, Jesus Christ is not a condiment. Jesus Christ is not a salt or a pepper shaker that you add to your goodness. Jesus Christ is the one that makes you realize we have no goodness of our own. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Every single righteousness that man thinks they have are filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And Jesus Christ is the one that we must bow down to and call on for salvation. Jesus Christ is the answer. And Joseph's telling that, being the type of Christ, and he prophesied that. Matter of fact, the Old Testament prophets were prophesying that, and Israel did not want to think that they were that bad. What'd they do? They killed the prophets. They rejected the truth. And that's why man wants to do the same thing today. They want to reject the truth. They want to reject the Bible. They want to reject the Word of God, the Son of God. The prophecy, they don't like the prophecy. Oh, they like to play games with prophecy and joke about prophecy. They don't like the truth, though. So we see the prophecy. And in verse number 8, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt indeed have a dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. We see the pride. The pride of the brothers. The pride of his brothers. They did not want to accept that. You know what they hated him for? They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. The dreams, that prophetic dream. And for his words. You know why the world hates Jesus Christ? For the prophetic things in this book. For what's going to happen in this world after the church is called out. For the fact that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years with a rod of iron on the throne of David in Jerusalem. They hate that prophecy. They don't like that dream, if you will. Those dreams are prophetic, so we're going to look at those and use those interchangeably for a few minutes. But they don't like that prophecy. You know, a lot of preachers don't even like that prophecy. So what do? They get rid of the truth. I won't set it over there, but they get rid of the truth and they pull in a lie. Oh, we're bringing in the kingdom. We're just going to get good enough and we're going to get everything set up for Jesus Christ. No, Jesus Christ is getting everything set up for you right now for salvation, and he's going to set everything up for this world for 1,000 years. It's going to be right with him ruling and reigning. All this garbage about we're bringing in the kingdom. We've talked about this before. The man is bringing in the kingdom of the Antichrist. But the kingdom this Bible is focused on, this kingdom, this second coming of Jesus Christ, where our Lord and Savior rules and reigns, and by the way, we'll be with him, that second kingdom is going to be brought in by him and him alone. by the words of God and by the word of God. But they hated their brother Joseph for his dream and for his words. You know what the world hates? They hate Jesus Christ's words. And honestly, it makes me sick to my stomach. Most preachers anymore hate his words. They want their own words. We talked about that in Sunday school, that bozo. Let's not give him any more credit than he deserves. That clown that thinks that we don't need the Scripture to be our only authority. We need all the traditions of man too. I'm not Catholic. I'm not Methodist. I'm not Presbyterian. I'm not Baptist when it comes to that stuff. I'm a Bible believer right there. We need that book, Solo Scriptura. That is the final authority right there. And this guy's started the emergent church movement. He started that on the fact that he thinks that we don't need the Word of God. We can just kind of make it up as we go along. Well, how's that doing? Because people have been making it up as they go along for years. The ones that are doing right by the Word of God and the words of God. They hated Joseph because of his prophecy, and they hated Joseph because of his words. You know what his words said? You guys are going to bow down to me. You know what this word says? That every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That book says that, and man hates that. They hate that. You know why? It makes them feel guilty. It shows them they're guilty. They don't like the law. They want the law taken out. Matter of fact, they don't even like the law of man. They want to do whatever they want to do, feel like however they want to feel for a short time, run over whoever they want to run over, and claim to be tolerant where everybody else is intolerant. In the truth, the most intolerant people in the world are the people that are against the Word of God. But they had that prophecy, and they didn't like it, and then their pride. And then they had a plan in 18 through 19. You know what they said? And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. You know what they did to Jesus Christ? Before they even really got to know him, when they saw him afar off, they conspired to kill him. You know, the Old Testament, when the prophets were prophesying of the coming Messiah, they didn't like it, so they wanted to kill the message, they wanted to kill the messenger, because they wanted to kill Jesus Christ before he even got here. And when he hit the ground, he was born as that little baby, Herod wanted to get rid of him, and the Antichrist worked and worked and worked, wanting to get rid of him, and he worked through men to do it. It wasn't some spiritual thing that just haphazardly happened. It was men and their pride that allowed the devil to get in there and use them to try to kill the Word of God. You know why we have the NIV, the RSV, the NASB, and all this garbage in the supposed New King James Bible? Because these men of pride are able to be used of the devil to pervert truth and say, this is really what it should be, and the truth is right here. Say, well, the devil's got all this power. He's got all the power man gives him. And he's got the ability to do what God allows him to do. And you know what God allows him to do? What man lets him do. He's got a little bit of a leash on him right now. We talked about this before in Bible study where we're talking to Matthew and Revelation and Daniel. You get in Revelation and those seals are open. What he's doing is he's taking off the restraints of the devil. And he's letting the devil, and this seal was open, and this wicked stuff starts happening, and the evil judgment is dumped out on this world. And it's the devil God's saying, all right, you want your chance? Go for it. Do what you want to do. I'm glad we're not going to be here. Because he already sealed me in the blood of Jesus Christ. The prophecy, the pride, the plan to kill him, to do away with him. Look at the pit in 24. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. It's a type of hell. It's a type of hell. They cast him in that pit, and guess what? He didn't stay in the pit. Guess where Jesus Christ went? He went into that pit where there's no water, and he came out of that pit. The difference between Joseph and Jesus is they helped Joseph out, and Jesus Christ brought himself out because he was without sin. What put him in that pit? What put Joseph in that pit? Was it his sin? It was his brother's pride. What put Jesus Christ in hell? Everybody else's sin. He was able to drop your sin debt off and get out of there because he's clean. But that pit's a type of hell. And we know that from Lazarus and the rich man asking for that tip of his tongue touched with water because there's no water in that pit. Look at 26 through 28. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now we see the pieces of silver. And we've talked about this before. They sell Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Judas comes along, sells Jesus to the Roman soldiers for 30 pieces of silver. They take him off and crucify him. Well, guess where he ends up? Joseph ends up in Egypt, over Egypt. Guess where Jesus Christ ends up? Egypt's the type of the world. He ends up ruling and reigning over all the kingdoms of this earth. You say, well, I'm saying it like it's past tense. Because it might as well be. Because God already said it was going to happen. I've read it a few times. I can even close the book and tell you what it says on that part. He's coming back. He's calling us out. He's going to fight the battle of Armageddon. He's going to have that victory. He's going to put the beast and the false prophet in a fire for a thousand years, and he's going to put them in there for permanent. He's going to put the devil in there for 1,000 years and lock him up, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years. He's going to loose the devil for a season, battle of Gog and Magog, and then he's going to cast the devil in the lake of fire where the devil, the beast and the false prophet have been for 1,000 years already. I know what this says. He's coming back. He's going to rule and reign on this earth. Amen. And you know what? No matter what man does, they can't stop it. But they're still going to try. They're still going to try. Oh, the devil, he's got a plan. He's going to get all the world together. He's doing it right now. He's getting all the world together. You know, Russia and China. I'm not looking for Russia. I'm looking for Jesus. I understand that things are happening now that have never happened before. And, you know, 200 years ago when people thought he was coming back, things were happening that never happened before. So you know what was going on? Slowly but surely the stage is being set by the Antichrist. Well, boy, the devil's busy. His people are busy. What are they doing? They're preaching lies. And a lot of them are in pulpits. Preaching lies. What's the United Nations doing? They're preaching lies. Peace, peace, peace. How do you think this thing's going to get set up? I don't know if this is 100% true or not, but I heard they wanted to make a president of the United Nations give him a 7-year term. Wouldn't that be something? 7-year term, 7-year tribulation, 3.5 years of hell on earth. Keep your eye on the Pope. He starts moving to be the head of the UN. Amen? So, well, that's not fair. Well, that's just the truth. That's just the truth. I haven't changed my... God hasn't changed his opinion on who the great whore of Revelation is. And until he does, I'm not. A lot of Baptists have. You know why? Because they got the wrong Bible and they're becoming the whore. Study it out. Every fake Bible out there comes from the whore. Amen. So I don't think that's very kind. It's the truth. It's the truth. You know what kindness does to the fault of compromise? You know what it does? It leads people down the wrong road and allows people to believe a lie. You can get mad at me, your Catholic grandma can get mad at me, and everybody you know can get mad at me. But the truth is, the great whore of Revelation is in Rome. Right. And the one that's drunk with the fornications of the kings of this earth is in Rome. Right. Been fornicating with all these whores, and all these whore churches that are going on right now come from the Bibles that were written from the garbage from Rome. Right. Westcott and Hort and all those boys, they were part of Rome. Yep. Amen. And go on down the line. So I don't think that's very kind of you. I don't want to be kind, I want to be right. I'll be kind when I want to be, when God wants me to be. I don't think He wants me to be kind. Let's just all get along. And I can lead you all down the wrong path, and you can be happy as you go your way to the judgment seat of Christ and wonder why I lied to you. Amen. I'm not going to lie to you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what people need to hear? They don't need to hear that your religion's pretty good. But if you just add a little Jesus to it, it'd be really good. You know what they need to hear? Your religion is garbage. Your religion is wicked. Your religion is taking you to hell. And the people that are peddling that, they're making merchandise of you. They're selling you. And while they're raking in the bucks, you're just running up the tab on the hell debt. And the only way to pay it is by turning from the lies, turning from the religion, and turning to Jesus Christ. I've got a lot of friends I grew up with that are going the wrong direction, that were their whole life. They were raised in the belly of the whore. And I want to see them get saved. But they're not going to get saved by adding Jesus to their works. They're going to get saved by ditching their works and calling on Him. Same way I got saved, by the way. The pieces of silver. Merchandise, making merchandise of people. That's what they're doing today, making merchandise of people. Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, you can go on down the line. And go on down the line, what they're doing, they're making merchandise. Robert Schuller, I'm sorry if you like the Crystal Cathedral or whatever, he was doing the same thing. They'll sell hankies, they'll sell lies. Even if they're not selling you some snot rag, they're mailing to you, you know what they're doing? They're selling you a lie. Saying stuff like, well, you know what salvation, you know what the gospel really is? It's really being a happy you. That's not the gospel. A happy you goes to hell. A saved you goes to heaven. You don't get saved by the Crystal Cathedral theology of you need to be a happy you. Just be the best you you can be. I'm going to tell you what, the best you can be without Jesus Christ will burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Where the fire is never quenched and the worm, your soul dieth not. But they're making merchandise of people. They do. Pieces of silver. Oh, Copeland, him and his garbage he pukes out all the time. I haven't heard him for a long time. I heard him say, well, I'm a billionaire and God wants me to be a billionaire. Well, his God probably does. Because if I had to guess, that guy's lost as lost could be. He'll split hell wide open. You say, well, how could you say that? Have you heard some of the stuff that man said? He said, we don't just want to be like Jesus Christ. We don't want to be like God. You are a God. And he said, when God said, I read the Bible, when God said, I am, he said, yeah, me too. That's blasphemous. I am is God's name. He's the never beginning and never end God. He's just always been here. He's the I am. And he's, oh, me too. And he laughs about it. Because he's a devil. So aren't you afraid to say that about a preacher? Not that one. He's a devil. He's making merchandise of people and then he's bragging about it. And people are sending in their money. Little old ladies and little old men that are living on 50, 60 bucks a month after they pay for all their prescriptions, they're sending that 50, 60 bucks, probably taking out a loan so they can send money to that goofball. Because he's making merchandise of them. Another preacher, I don't remember his name, you know what he says? He says, well, you know what? If you will use your credit card to give, God will wipe out all your credit debt. He'll wipe out all your debt. No. He wants his debt wiped out. I like what Pastor Sal said. He said he got a letter from them. They said, you know what? If you'd send us the seed money, will you get this much back? And Pastor Sal said he was good and God had really blessed him. So he was going to give them an opportunity to send him some seed money so they could be blessed. That's funny. But you know what? I guarantee you they didn't. They're not going to send their money. They'll take your money. And when your money becomes their money, amen, it's a different deal. They want you to give till it hurts and then some. And then they want to tell you, God wants me to be a billionaire. The same guy that's telling you and the same woman that's telling you, by the way, the woman ain't supposed to be preaching no church, ain't supposed to be pastoring no church. And the men that are pastoring churches aren't supposed to be acting like women either, amen? But the thing is that the guy that's telling you that if you're not prosperous, God's not on your side is the guy that's taking all their money. You know what he wants them to do? He wants them to keep praying and sending that money in. They're slaves. They're slaves to a lie. And one day, the majority of those folks will stand at the white throne judgment and they'll be cast into a lake of fire because the devil used that man, that wicked man, or that wicked woman to make merchandise of those people. Oh, white suit Benny. He says, I don't want to hear about no streets of gold. He goes, I want the gold now. You better get it now, because you're not going to be on any streets of gold if you're not saved. Street of gold, by the way. This book says street, no S. I believe that. I believe there's one street. It doesn't lead to Rome. One road leads to Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. Pieces of silver. How about the price paid by Joseph? He's cast into the pit. He's sold into slavery. And then he's in prison. How about the price paid by Jesus Christ? How about that? He's the type of Christ. Again, Jesus isn't a type of Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ. All those things that we're looking at, being cast into that pit, Jesus Christ going to hell for you and me, and for everybody else, all the rejectors. Car breaks down, you get an $800 bill, and you say, well, I'm not sure it's going to fix it. We're going to have to try that. Make you cry. When's the last time you cried over the fact your neighbor's going to burn in hell forever? When's the last time you cried about people that are born again, living like hell, and not giving Jesus Christ any glory? That ought to break our heart. That ought to break our heart. And it's not really about the people. It's about Him. He deserves the honor and glory. If nobody ever got saved, He deserves the honor and glory. Because He's God. I mean, we do. We praise the Lord when things go right, and we praise the Lord when things go wrong. In our eyes. Right? But let's be honest, it's a little easier to praise Him when we're getting our way. You know why? Because we really never learn to die to self. Joseph did. Joseph did. And it wasn't an easy road. We talked about that last week. The price he paid to get where God wanted him was being in that pit, sold into slavery, probably beaten on a regular basis in slavery, and then cast into prison and forgotten by everybody but God. Butler didn't care about him. His brothers weren't looking for him. They knew he was alive when the last time they seen him. They weren't looking for him. The brother didn't care. But God did. I say that to say this. No matter what happens, God cares, and He knows what's going on. Sometimes it feels like nobody else cares. And sometimes that might be the case. Sometimes even your own brothers might not care. But God does. Joseph, he's down there in that prison, and God said, I know where you're at. I promise you, just trust me. And him and Joseph are working things out. Joseph's like, okay, Lord, your time. Okay, Lord, whatever you want. Okay, Lord. Lord brings him up out of there and puts him over. You know what? Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, waiting right now to come back and rule over this world. And you and I are like, it ain't never going to happen. We're like Joseph. It ain't never going to happen. I'm praying for the rapture. It ain't never going to happen. It is going to happen. Whether it happens in our lifetime or not, I don't know, but it will happen. Well, in a sense, it's going to happen in our lifetime because we're going to live forever. Amen? We're not going to die. Amen. We're going up either way. I just assume it was before. Amen. All together. Everybody say amen. Today would be good. But we're kind of like Joseph, like, man, it's never going to happen. God already gave Joseph His word. The price Joseph paid. Turn to chapter 50, Genesis 50 real quick. In Genesis chapter 50, look at verse 15. This is after his brethren come, bowed down to him. They brought their dad back, Israel, Jacob. They brought him back, and he passes on. And this is his brothers. We talked about this a little bit last week. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Saw the prophecy, the pride, their plan, the pit, the pieces of silver, the price paid by Joseph. Now we see the pending judgment. You know what they're looking at? They're thinking, we're going to get what we deserve. What would they have deserved? He could have chopped their heads off and cast them out in a ditch. He was basically the king. He could do what he wanted. And they knew they deserved it. There's your conviction. Amen? The pending judgment. Look at 16 through 19. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall we say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? We see the possible outcomes. There were only two possible outcomes right here. One of them was death and destruction. And the other one was forgiveness. You know what they did? They bowed down to him. And they asked for forgiveness. That's the type of Christ. You know what Jesus Christ did when I bowed down to him and asked him to forgive me? Just what he said he would. He forgave me. So when the devil comes along and he's trying to tell you, you lost it. You never had it to start with. Hey, look, if you remember when it happened, and it happened, you still got it. How do I know? Because the Lord said so. Well, the Catholic Church says this, and the Methodist Church says that, and some Baptist churches say this, and the Presbyterians think this, and so? Franklin Graham says, I don't care. I don't care if he puts road tar in his Cheerios. This is what we go by. Amen? This is where the rubber meets the road. He already said it. Just like he told Joseph, I'm going to put you over Egypt. He told me, I'm taking you to heaven one day. And don't worry, I'm putting you in my Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. Then you know what he tells me to do? He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. He told the same thing to you. The possible outcomes, there's two possible outcomes. They could have chose judgment and death, but they called on Joseph's forgiveness, and Joseph gave them forgiveness and life. Look at verse 21. We'll be done real quick. Lord willing. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. This is where we ended up last week. This is what we talked about last week. The prophecy, the pride, the plan, the pit, the pieces of silver. Oh, making merchandise of man. What a mess. The price paid by Joseph, the pending judgment, the possible outcomes, judgment and death, or forgiveness and life. We see the purpose. You know what the whole purpose was? Forgiveness. Why were they there to start with? To get corn. Feeding. And he didn't want to just rule over them. He wanted to fellowship with them. So what's your purpose? Well, God forgave you. He wants to feed you. And he wants to fellowship with you. Could you imagine if one of his brethren, like, I ain't bound down that idiot. I remember him. The rest of them, like, you got to, man. You're going to chop your head off. You know what our job is? Hey, man, judgment's coming. You might not want to bow to him now, but you will. You'll bow to him. You know, if one of his brethren would have said, you know, I ain't bound down to you. I don't care what you say. I don't care who you think you are. I ain't bound down to you. They'd have probably bowed down and got their head chopped off. But they'd have bowed down. He's the king, basically, over everything. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What am I saying? I'm saying, we need to pray for our heart, for our neighbors and our family members and our friends. And I'm not just talking about because it's our duty, because there's something in our soul that tells us we want Jesus Christ to be glorified. And we don't want to see people die and go to hell when they don't have to. And on that journey that we're on in truth, we can't step off the path of truth. Amen? You can word things in a nice way or a less offensive way, but your words are important. And adding Jesus, a little Jesus here and a little Jesus there, won't get you to heaven. Trust in Him and Him alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we need to have the heart and the wisdom to give people the gospel in a way that they need it. That's where the guidance of the Holy Spirit comes from. That's where it comes in. Lord, old preacher over in Illinois, I preached his funeral, 94 years old. He'd pastored for 70 years, I believe it was. And he used to say, Lord, every message, he'd say, Lord, take these lips of clay and use them for your honor and your glory. And that's what we need. We need God to take these lips of clay and guide every word that comes out when we're dealing with lost souls especially. And when we're dealing with injured brothers and sisters in Christ. We need guidance from Him. Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Joseph and his brethren and the story here, Lord. I'm so thankful that this story being a type of Christ and His life and His payment that He made is ended with forgiveness and life. And Lord, thank You that because of the death, burial, and resurrection, we can call on Jesus Christ, and we have the ones that have that end in forgiveness and life. We love You and ask You to bless us through the week. Yeah. Keep us safe. We need Your hand of protection on us and our families. And Lord, help us day by day to become more like You by praying and reading Your Word, and not just reading it, but living it. In Jesus' name, amen.